Magnify your name. Almighty God, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. Lord, the Bible says, you sent your word and you healed them and you deliver them from their destruction. Lord, heal us today in Jesus' name. Deliver us today in Jesus' name. Father, deliver us from destruction in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, even in line with the Sunday school, we heard that because you are holy, your requirement is that we be holy. My Father, my God, every stain, every blemish, every mark of leprosy upon any life here, O God, you will cleanse today in Jesus' name. You are preparing for yourself a church without spot or without wrinkle. My Father, my God, we will be among the number in Jesus' name. Lord, such that all that we are doing will be holy, an acceptable service unto you in Jesus' name. Lord, the world is increasingly becoming twisted. The world is increasingly becoming distorted. The world is increasingly becoming formless. But we will be the light that shine upon the mountain. And so will you make the life of your people to be in Jesus' name. Father, empower your word, O God, that it will be enough to change the mind of people in the house today in Jesus' name. It will be enough to circumcise our hearts today in Jesus' name. It will be enough to bring our blessings in Jesus' name. It will be enough to sanctify us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've told you, you've got me today. By the special grace of God, I'm continuing the message I started about 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I told you we'll be looking at a series on spiritual generations. We'll be looking at a series on spiritual generations, and we said that people at varying stages, people at different stages in their understanding and their walk with God. And that is why in every dispensation you have different generations. Different spiritual generations. It's different from biological generations. And we started by looking at the sign-seeking generation. And we said that we can have a look at generations like the perverse generations, the generations that curse their fathers, the self-righteous, the wise generation, the generation of vipers, the stubborn and rebellious generations. We have the generation of the upright. We have the generation of God seekers and God praisers. And then we have the chosen generation. They are all in our Bibles. Praise the Lord. So we looked at the sign-seeking generation 2 weeks ago. Today, we are going to look at perverse generation. The perverse generation. You will not be amongst them in Jesus' name. And I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Philippians. Please, can we have the door shut, please? I love those voices. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 15. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Praise the Lord. Somebody said that there is nothing called darkness. That darkness exists only when light is absent. Praise the Lord. Did you hear that? Somebody said that there is no darkness, but that darkness exists because light refused to shine. In other words, when we choose to shine, we have the ability to change our environment. We have the ability to illuminate wherever we are. You will shine as light in Jesus' name. But what happens is that when you now cover light and you refuse to allow light to shine, the whole place will be covered with what? With darkness. You will start to shine today in Jesus' name. As we read this morning, or as we learned this morning in the Sunday school, there has to be, and there must be something that makes us different from the world around us. It is what makes us different from the world around us that causes us to shine. In the absence of what makes us different from the world around us, we will be just like the world around. We will stop being like that from today in Jesus' name. The world around is supposed to be darkness. Why we shine as the light that takes away that darkness? The Bible talks about an ungodly generation that is referred to as the perverse generation. And if we are not careful, if we allow the light in us to go out, we will simply become like one of them. And because of what you are going to hear today, you will never be like the world again in Jesus' name. You'll be like the city that is upon the hill. You will never be hidden again in Jesus' name. We are going to look at some of the features of perverse generations. The first thing about perverse generations, First of all, let me talk about what it means to be perverse. Perverse. If you dissect the word perverse very well, it simply means there is the original. Praise the Lord. Am I right? So, there is the original. And when something becomes perverse, it means there's an adulteration of the original. It means there's a distortion of form. What it's supposed to be becomes distorted. It becomes perverted. We have different kinds of Christianity today. Distortion of the calling we have in Jesus Christ. And I believe that the reason that we are hearing what we are hearing today is because God wants to set the feet of somebody on the path of righteousness. And those feet will be your feet in Jesus' name. The first thing about the perverse generation is that they dispute the word. When you see a child of God that starts to dispute the word of God, something is starting to go wrong. Disputing the word is the beginning. It's not in the beginning itself, but it's actually a stage that usher one into a state of unbelief and faithlessness. I want you to open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 6. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 3 to 5. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 to 5. It says, but if anyone teaches otherwise and does not assent to the sound and wholesome messages of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and the teaching which is in agreement with godliness, piety towards God, he is puffed up with pride and stupefied with conceit, although he is woefully ignorant. He has a morbid fondness for controversy and disputes and strife about words, which result in or produce envy and jealousy, quarrels and dissension, abuse and insult and slander, and base suspicions, and protracted wrangling and wearying discussion and perpetual friction among men who are corrupted in mind and bereft of the truth, who imagine that godliness or righteousness is a source of profit or money-making business, a means of livelihood. From such, withdraw. When you see a child of God who started out by believing the whole word of God, when you see a child of God who will hold on to the word of God in the face of adversity, rejection, and suffering, and suddenly they start to doubt the word and question the veracity of the word of God, In fact, such an individual may move to the stage of beginning to choose what to believe and what not to believe. Distortion is beginning to come into the mind and the heart of such a person. And that is why you hear some people, they will tell you that they no longer believe in divine healing. That healing belongs to those days. They will tell you they don't believe in the divine provisions of God. Such people begin to see or have distorted view of what church is about as a place where people are fashioned, shaping, and prepared and perfected for good works. Instead, church becomes a place of self-actualization. Church is not about you. Your flesh. Church is about glorifying God. Church is about glorifying God, and the beauty of God starts to shine in your life. If our primary purpose is to come to glorify God, then we are doing church. And then He can commend His blessings upon us. You know that some of us, when we read the Bible and we read the place where the Bible says that we are going to be blessed, for example, if the Bible says, and all that he does, the righteous man does, all that he does shall be blessed, all that he does shall prosper. When we want to talk about those kind of areas, we will emphasize the all in it, and we will say, yes, indeed, all shall be blessed. And it is true that all shall be blessed. But when God says we have to exercise restraint, we start to make exceptions. Where God provides curtailment of our appetites for the things of the world, we start to make exceptions. We start to think that the word of God is applicable to some people and not to other people. That is a distortion of the intent and the purpose of the word. Everyone that comes to him comes under the authority of the word of God. And let me tell you something. It's the device of the enemy to dispossess the people of God. If you remember what happened to Eve in the garden, the starting point was a distortion of the instruction of God. Once the word of God starts to become distorted in your understanding, that is enough to separate you from the blessings that are inherent in that word, because it's the correct understanding of this word that brings about a revelation. It births a revelation in your life, and it brings about the blessings of God in your life. With the perverse generations, they are the people who are easily corrupted. Not only do they have distorted understanding of the word, they become easily corrupted. Peter was writing, he talked about housewife fables. They are the people who are into the in things, who will easily jettison the enduring and the everlasting settled word of God. They are the new age believers. They are the ones who will start to make a separation between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They are the ones that the enemy can easily sow a seed of doubt into their hearts, because they are easily corrupted. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 5. He said, they have corrupted themselves. Their sport is not the sport of his children. They are perverse and crooked generation. There is a sport, there is a mark that marks the children of the living God. In fact, another version says, they, Israel, have spoiled themselves. They are not sons to him. And that is their blemish, a perverse and crooked generation. In other words, there is something that marks people of God out in the crowd. The spot, the emblem you wear as a child of God, is the emblem of suffering for Jesus Christ. Is the emblem of shame for Jesus Christ. Is the emblem that makes you want to stand in the crowd irrespective of how people feel or what people think, and you proclaim him. But the perverse generation wear a different kind of emblem. The emblem they wear is the emblem of corruption, is the emblem of distortion, is the emblem of lies, is the emblem of stealing, is the emblem of forgery, is the emblem, everything that depicts unrighteousness is the emblem that the perverse will wear. But when the child of God is going to suffer shame and humiliation, you are going to suffer shame and humiliation because of your belief. Because you hold on to Christ, you are going to suffer shame and humiliation and ridicule because you choose to be different. Because you simply choose to modernize. Because you simply choose to hold on to the old rugged cross that has no beauty or comeliness, but sent by God. But in it, inherent in it, is your salvation, is your victory, is your hope and your joy. The perverse minds are easier to entice with evil. And negativity. To the perverse mind, the culture is more important than what God says. To the perverse mind, their social standing is much more important than the approval that God has for their lives. The perverse mind will do whatever it takes. Not will this please God, but whatever it takes to get whatever they want. The perverse mind does not make God the centerpiece of his focus, but man. It could be self. It could be others. It could be that they want to win approval. Recently, I read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 differently. Hebrews 12, 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. Follow peace with all men. I like that. But the second part we often ignore. He says, follow peace with all men and what? And holiness. In other words, the peace that will exist between you, any kind of understanding that will exist between you and somebody that excludes holiness, that is not peace. That's not God's peace. Every kind of understanding that will exist between you and someone else that will influence you in a way that will take you away from God and your understanding of His injunctions, that's not peace. It is the combination of the two. Follow peace with all men and what? And holiness. In other words, one without the other, you cannot see God. Of course, if you are holy, you have peace. You follow peace. Praise the Lord. We all have choices to make. You know, somebody used to say in Yoruba, he said, whoever is taught to do something wicked, and he or she does it, is actually doing what is inside him or her. Every time we make a choice to do what is ungodly, we are actually making a choice to do what we want to do, not because somebody lured us in to doing it. In Romans chapter 1 verse 20, Romans 1:20, what does the Bible say? Romans 1:20. The Bible makes us to understand that there is no excuse for ungodliness in this world. It says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Without excuse. So that we don't have excuse. So in other words, it is not enough to say because my neighbor did this, or because that pastor did that thing, or I know of somebody that did that thing, that is why I am ungodly today. It is not an excuse, because there are other evidences that testify to the glory and the presence of God, and they are bound all over the place. Why do we always want to choose on the negative and the ones that will not profit, rather than looking at the evidences of the glory of God? I told you the other time, and I shared it with the church. The church, you were laughing. I told you how, if God were to actually come down and decide to do something in your life, if you don't have your mind prepared to reference God, He may be passing by you and you will not recognize it. You will receive miracles and you will not even recognize it, until your mind is attuned unto God. I told you of one of my friends in the US who recently, a pastor went to visit him and prayed with him, and the pastor told him that God had told him that he will be moving back to Nigeria. So, about a week or two after that, somebody went to visit this guy from Nigeria. I remember I told you the story. And made him an offer that he couldn't refuse. And the guy packed his bag and He's been back in Nigeria for a while now. And we started talking about God, and he told me how the pastor came and prayed for him. And what actually led him to talk to me about it was that his sister was believing God for her healing. And he said, can you imagine? Can you imagine my sister? She's got, you know, into this kind of thing. And when he knew my stand, and I told him, and then he told me what the pastor did. He said, but he didn't go back to tell the pastor, you know, so that the pastor would not think he has done some miracles. Because people don't want to acknowledge God as God. Your life will start to acknowledge God as God in Jesus' name. Perverse minds join others to make excuses when it comes to the things of God. Perverse minds. The perverse generation will join others to make excuses when it comes to the things of God. I'm sure you'll be wondering, how did I come about that? Open your Bible to Luke chapter 14. Do you know that I've never seen it like that before? Luke 14, verse 16 to 20. Luke 14, 16 to 20. Listen to this. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Read verse 18 now. Read verse 18. If you have King James Version, it captures it. And they all with one what? With one what? With one consent. With one agreement. It was not an individual decision. And they all with what? With what? One what? One consent. Began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife. I know many of us don't like me preaching this part. What does this tell us? The first one is that possession. The first one is possession, material wealth, gains, profit, excuse, the material things of life. When our prayers are answered, they become the object of our affection rather than God, the provider himself. When mind starts to become distorted, the focus leaves God and is centered on belongings. Say, let me go and see it. That is why you see when the mind starts to become distorted and you go to Havinoma, praise the Lord, and you decided to buy the biggest one, we'll take it home. The following week, you will not come to church. So what are you doing? Is that TV? You know, you may not actually tell me it's the TV, but you are busy watching that TV. It's so wonderful. or you just bought that car. The time for church is the time to take it for detailing. Somebody to wash it and make it up for you. The mind is becoming distorted. You are beginning to misplace your priority. You will not misplace your priority in Jesus' name. The second excuse is this. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray they have me excused. Nothing as powerful, particularly in the Western world, as our jobs, that can distort our thinking sometimes. I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. Let me go and prove them. I will leave it there. Praise the Lord. Because I've said a lot about that before. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Jesus said, if any man will not forsake his mother, his father, his brother, his sister, his wife, her husband, his children, her children, and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. Of course, the same Bible tells us that he who does not take care of his family is worse than an infidel. So we now know that it is not that God is saying we should forsake them and not have anything to do with our family. But God is saying we have to reorder our priorities. If we order our priorities right, and God becomes the centerpiece of our homes, let me tell you something, there will be peace in our homes. If the husband focuses on God, the wife focuses on God, there will be no room. There will be no place for the devil in that home. Because the word of God is very clear. Let's stop making excuses for why we think things cannot work when it comes to living the word in our homes, in our jobs, in the church of God, everywhere we are. Because only people whose minds are becoming distorted start to make excuses as to why they cannot be obedient to the word of God. Remember, we learned this morning that it is total and absolute obedience, total and absolute holiness. No excuse is good enough. The perverse generations will not regard anything as sacred or sacrosanct. Nothing is sacred. Nothing is sacrosanct. Because in the same Romans chapter 1, if you look at verse 21, he says, even when they knew him as God, they did not glorify him as God. It is not because they don't have an understanding of God. They have an understanding of God, but they refuse to glorify God as God. They refuse to put him in the rightful place that he belongs. So in other words, nothing is sacrosanct. Nothing is sacred. There is a judge in Luke 18 verse 14. The Bible says, he neither feared God nor regarded man. That is the perverse mind. The perverse generation. I had a discussion with someone last week, and this person was advocating for euthanasia. Some of us will probably have heard or read about the debate that's going on about euthanasia. The layman word for it is mercy clean. In other words, when they take you to the hospital, if you are sick, you are really sick, you can request and say, please, just kill me. Or maybe your family can request and say, just We had that discussion, and I told people, I said, look, underline all this. If you've never thought of it that way before, look at it this way. Underline all of this is cost. Okay? Because medical care has advanced so much that you can almost keep people alive for so long. People think of the cost of keeping somebody alive. It's all about money. As far as I'm concerned, it's all about money. How much we are going to spend, how much is going to cost us, how much, you know, how many people will run shifts, how many will do this, and they put a dollar value on it, and so, you know. But the problem there is this. Some people have started to extend it. In fact, there was a woman over 70 years old in Sydney who came to a point and just said, not because anything was wrong with her, she said she's now over 70 and that she's had enough of life and, you know, I want to be euthanized. And the implication of this is that you look at the world and you notice that the world regards you for the value of what you can produce, particularly in the Western world. Am I right? The moment you are no longer productive, that is why people don't have regard. Do you agree? Because you are no longer productive. You are in the production line. If you are no longer yielding. So I asked the guy, and I said to him, because she was talking about choice, choice, choice. You see, I have a choice. You know, is it not my life? I can have a choice to say when I want to die. I will choose to die. I said, okay, that's true. You have a choice. I then asked him. I said, that's very good. Did you choose to be born? He looked at me. I said, no, tell me. Were you the one who made the choice that you wanted to be born? He said, no. I said, did you make a choice as to which family they were going to born you into? He said, no. I said, did you choose which country you are going to be born into? He said, no. And I said, but it's your life, isn't it? You have a choice to terminate it. To the perverse mind, nothing is sacrosanct. Nothing. We'll go to any length. I hear that, because the debate is going on very well in Australia, that they will be requiring psychiatric assessment. So if anyone says, I want to be killed, they will call a psychiatrist to make sure he's well. Okay, so once he's well, then I will not be part of it in Jesus' name. I say, I will not be part of it. For a child of God, there has to be a dividing line. There must be some things you cannot do because you are a child of God. I just use euthanasia as an example. You must get to a point that you can say, irrespective of how much you want to pay me, I am not going to do this that you want me to do. One day we had a family friend. I think she went to look for a job. Was it a massage parlor or something? And when she got there, they told her, this is true life story. They told her that they will give her a job there, but when she comes, what will she have to do? She will have to remove her clothes and wear maybe bikini to do massage for people. And she ran. I'm telling you, the people we know. But some people, when they need, show me the dollar, that's all that matters. But as a child of God, you must have a limit as to what you can do for survivor. Praise the Lord. The perverse mind has no limit. In fact, they will rationalize it. You see, circumstance now. Circumstance. I've said it over and over again. We all have needs. Praise the Lord. Did you hear that? We all have needs, but we don't solve our problem the same way. It's your choice how you choose to solve your problem. It's not an excuse. We elevate the flesh above the things of God. You say, can't you understand that it was just tough and they had to do it? I was listening to a Muslim yesterday on BBC. If you had the documentary, how many of us heard about the Benghazi 6 or Libya 6? You remember those nurses who were working in Libya who were accused of injecting or infecting children with AIDS? Do you remember them? And they were arrested and tortured. Tortured. And you know what? One of the men, after they were released, it turned out that the reason they were arrested was not connected with anything like that. It was because of the arrest and the prosecution of the Lockerbie bombers. So they then arrested them and told lies that they had infected children with AIDS. And they tortured these people. And up to the last moment, they asked this guy to sign and make a confession that he did it. And the guy said to them, look, if you are going to kill me. I did not do it. And I'm not going to sign. As God will have it, Sarkozy's wife intervened and they released them. How many of us will stand? Even for Jesus, how many of us will stand? God will make you stand in Jesus' name. The perverse mind will treat the things of God with levity. In fact, defiling marriage to the perverse mind means nothing. They are the one who will join the gang of people who will have girlfriends in their matrimonial homes. The Bible says, and the two shall become one. The world has distorted marriage, and they talk about individualities. And as a result, they wreck our homes for us. In fact, they so much make it this day that if women and men are at war, because everything is distorted. The missing link is actually our ungodliness, our godliness. We have lost it. Instead of applying the right solution, we apply the wrong solution to it. The perverse mind will ordain gay bishops. In fact, you know what Nigeria is going through? That the country is being threatened with withdrawal of AIDS or withholding of AIDS if they don't reverse the law that abolishes or comes that's coming against gay marriage. In Nigeria, they have influence, they have money. Praise the Lord. I'm saying this because we think these are new age things. They are not. It's a sign of a generation within a dispensation. And God will deliver us in Jesus' name. Lastly, they cannot fully submit to God. The perverse mind cannot fully submit to God. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Acts 4:32. He said, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Praise the Lord. In other words, there was total and full submission to God. No wonder miracles happened in their midst. As the minds of men start to become distorted and we begin to doubt God and live in unbelief, we still expect the same thing to happen. As somebody said, we all want to be like Elijah, but we don't want to live the life of Elijah. In Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 4, even at that time too, they had people who were pretenders. He said, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. In other words, the perverse heart will pretend and make people believe what they are not. Give people false impression of who they are. I've told you before, the problem was not because these people sold their land. The problem was not because they kept the money. The problem was that they tried to make people feel that they have done like other people did, as we read. Everyone brought whatever they had, and they too wanted to just join the bandwagon. So they look, when we stand, serve God with pretense, that is being perverse. Make believe. We will not serve God with make believe in Jesus' name. But because the Bible makes me to understand that if we are not weary in what we're doing, we are going to reap the reward. If we are not weary in well doing, we will reap the reward. If you are weary, let people know that you are weary. We will pray with you, and the Lord will restore you in Jesus' name. Let not do make believe Christianity. And you know, God hates it with a passion, and I hate it with a passion. It may sound like foolishness when I say some things, and I say it openly, and I say it everywhere I go. It is better to say what you mean rather than saying something else. Open to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18, in closing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 18. In particular, I want to lay emphasis on verse 16. He said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Look, let me tell you something. You see, Paul was writing to the people and said, look, for all these things, he said, for which cause we faint not, for the gospel's sake we do not faint. Even though sometimes we get, you know, like every other human being, we suffer, we feel pain, we feel like, you know, we feel like we've done enough, we feel like, you know, there is nowhere else we want to go, we feel like we are disappointed, we feel like, you know, nothing is working, we feel like there is no hope, we feel like, you know. He said, even in the face of all these things, it is our flesh that is feeling that way. But deep down inside, we are renewed day after day. Deep inside, we are growing day after day. Deep inside, we are convinced of who God is. Deep inside, we know what God will do. Deep inside, we know what God has in reserve for me. Deep inside, I just know that God will bring beauty out of ashes. Deep within me, let my spirit agree with God as to his unfailing love, his unfailing power, deep within me. He said, we faint not. Don't let the things you see discourage you. Don't let what you are going through right now discourage you. Don't let it be because that prayer has not been answered, you are giving up. That is your flesh. Suffering, pain, it's not convenient. But deep inside, let God work miracles. I told some people, I said, look. I said, God will open our eyes to learn what we need to learn from every situation, so that we may grow thereby. So that the inner man of us can reach maturity with God. Because there are things of eternal value. This, I want to be that, I will have this, I have that. They are temporal. But there are things that are eternal. As we hold on to God, marching forward as individuals, as a church, as a people, we will see the salvation of the Lord in Jesus' name. Because God has in reserve for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory that surpasses all your afflictions, that surpasses all your disappointment, that surpasses all your shortcomings, that surpasses all your hopelessness. When you think of what God has in reserve for you, let the well of joy begin to flow forth from within you. Because what God says to the mind of the child of God is more than enough to go home rejoicing. We will not live in doubt anymore. We will live believing God and trusting Him. Can we just rise up? I want you to just speak to the Lord and say, Father, every area of darkness in my life, shine the light of your glory on it, O God. Shine the light of your glory. Every area of doubt, every area of compromise in my life, shine the light of your glory. Every area where I am not meeting up to expectation, my Father, my God. Every area where I have abandoned what I know of you and what I used to uphold, my Father, my God, begin to shine light in those areas right now. I want to align myself with you. I want to align myself with you. I don't want to align myself with man. I don't want to align myself with what people say. I don't want to align myself with, you know, with how I feel. I don't want to align myself with what I can see. I want to align myself with your word, because you have said so. I believe it so. Because that in itself is holiness. Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we have heard your word today again. Lord, every circumstance of our life, we declare them to be light afflictions. Lord, we are seeing a far greater weight of glory from this moment on in Jesus' name. Circumstance make people to change their mind about God. Circumstance make people to change their mind about what they believe. But for us, oh God, we stand. For us, oh God, we declare your goodness. For us, oh God, we declare that you are true. For us, oh God, we declare that your words can never fade and that they will accomplish the purpose for which you have sent them forth, oh God. My Father, my God, every life under my voice this afternoon, they start to become fruitful in Jesus' name. I say you start to become fruitful in Jesus' name. You start to yield to the voice of the Almighty God in the mighty name of Jesus. The one that corrupts lives and corrupts minds will not have power over you anymore in Jesus' name. You are rising up from the ashes in the mighty name of Jesus. Your joy is obvious. Your joy is to the overflowing. Your joys cannot be bridled. You are moving higher in the mighty name of Jesus. The work of the enemy pollutes. He steals, he kills, and he destroys. Because we have heard you today, O God, we have risen to life. Lord, I said we have risen to life in Jesus' name. We are going home justified. We are going home renewed. We are going home reformed in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.